Good morning and welcome. It's been a wet morning and I've been sick the last few days, so excuse my deeper tone of voice, and if I sound tired, I am. So we're continuing in our series of Reviving the Church, and last week we looked at Devoted to the Apostles' Teaching, Devoted to Preaching, and this week we're looking at Devoted to the Fellowship. What does it mean to be a part of a church? What does it mean to be the church? Why should I belong to a church? Why is the church here? What do we do as members of a church? Let's think about it as being part of a team. I mean, if you didn't know already, I love sports. I love team sports. Gaelic football, hurling, rugby, and the American sports I grew up with, baseball, football, basketball. I loved playing those sports, and if I grew up in Ireland, I would have been involved in the sports here. There's something about being a part of a team that is special. Now, it's one thing to be a spectator, but quite another to be a participant. If I was a player for Kerry football, not just a player on game day and the rest of the week, that I'm not a player. Being on the team is a commitment. My life changes because of the commitment to training with the club, plus training on my own. Now, the match day is the highlight of the week of training. It's the day when we put all of our skills together and try to put on a good play a good game and a good match and put on a good show for the fans, and to encourage each other and the fans. Well, the church is very similar. Every church has active, committed players and spectators. And the churches we attended in Colorado and California had people who are members of the church. Those were the people who were active in much of the daily life of the church. There were also a lot of people who just attended the church on Sunday morning and might have done so for years but never committed to be a member of the church. They were more like spectators, more like that guy. They watched and listened without much interaction and then left. They're ticking the boxes for the week, making an appearance without making a commitment. When the church goes through a difficult situation, they will give their strong opinions and then leave because they have no commitment to what's going to happen. They just say whatever they want and then they'll just go find another church. There is no commitment from a spectator. The topic in question for today is being devoted to the fellowship, the church. And what does that mean to me as an individual and to all of us as a church? A pastor friend in California described the church in this way. He said, specifically, this devotion was to the events of the church and to the people of the church. They changed their lifestyles and their schedules to hang out and do church fellowship related things. The fellowship was not an add-on to their life. The fellowship became their life. The fellowship was their priority. So we're going to look at several portions of Scripture this morning, but let me open by reading these verses from Acts in Hebrews. So Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47, and then Hebrews 10. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all, as any had need. And day by day attending the temple together and breaking bread in their bones, breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. And then Hebrews 10, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Just as a football team does not stop being a team when they're not together, also a church does not stop being a church when we're not together. Yes, we are together Sunday morning and Wednesday night, and we have started our monthly prayer times together again, but what about the other days of the week? Yes, we are still Grace Baptist Church throughout the week. Being devoted to the fellowship means we pray for each other, encourage each other, help each other, and support the leadership of the church. Why is church membership important? Well, church membership is not mentioned specifically in the Bible, but the concepts and the reasons for membership is scriptural. There are different ways churches do this. And here at Grace Baptist, we have a process for membership if someone desires to be an active member of the church. And the requirements are simple, it's not too difficult. One must be a born-again follower of Jesus Christ and living a life that shows they are a Christian. By asking to be a member of the church means that you desire to be an active, committed member of the local body of Christ, which is the church. Being a member of the local church means we are devoted and committed to the preaching of the word, to worshiping together, and praying together. Acts 2:45 explains why they gave of their possessions to support the church and to help those who are in need. They went to church together. They broke bread together. They praised God together in the world. Notice the difference in these people. Now, when someone becomes a member of Grace, you know, here, Grace Baptist Church, there's a covenant that we agree to. There's some things that we agree to, and but here's a covenant that we usually read about once a year at our members' meeting, is just as a reminder. Recognizing our own unworthiness and inability, and in total dependence on God, we now covenant to give ourselves first to God and then to this local fellowship, that we will endeavor to walk in holiness and brotherly love, being concerned to honor God in our lives and encourage one another to love and good works, to pray for one another and to bear each other's burdens, that we will at all times be loyal to each other, being patient with one another's weaknesses and failings, seeking to maintain unity and avoid all causes of division, that we will endeavor to meet together on the Lord's Day and at all other meetings of the fellowship as we have opportunity, encouraging one another by our attendance, to pray for and encourage the officers of the fellowship in the discharge of their duties. Now here are a few reasons. The following are a few reasons why an individual should be a member of a local church. We'll look at individual reasons for an individual, then we'll look at reasons for as the church body, why we are together. The first is that it is an act of obedience. Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking our own assembly. Now what does the word church mean? I think I mentioned it a couple of weeks ago. It's an assembly of people who gather together to worship God. God created man to be together. God assembled his people together to worship him. Jesus came in the flesh to dwell with us. That's why Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. He didn't say, in the word that he used, he didn't say, I will build my synagogue or I will build my temple, because those are structures, those are buildings. But the church is an assembly of like-minded people. I will build my church. Jesus shows us that his desire is to be with his people. And we are to look forward to the day when we are eternally eternally assembled together in heaven with him. Revelation 21:3 says, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them. God wants his people together. Not lone wolves, not hermits in the desert, not in monasteries off the coastal lonely rock. Jesus wants his church together, because he will return for his bride, the church. A seminary professor in Wales said that the point is not that attending church makes you a Christian. It doesn't. Just because you show up at church doesn't make you a Christian. He said the point is that attending church is what Christians do. It demonstrates the Spirit of Christ is in us, and therefore we desire to be with Christ's people. In Romans 12:10, Paul said to be devoted to one another, to love one another. These were his instructions to the church in Rome. You can't be devoted to someone if you're not there. You're not devoted to a football team if you're never at practice or you miss the matches. There needs to be a commitment. And by doing so, you're being obedient to the Lord. In Ephesians 2:19, Paul wrote, so then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. You're not a church of one. You're one with the church. Many people from diverse backgrounds, united in one purpose with Christ as the common denominator. I mean, look around. We have people born from different lands here together this morning, and we are together as one church, one local church. The second is joining a church is an act of spiritual maturity. Immaturity is the inability to make commitments. Worldly wisdom makes it easy to not commit to anything. Keep your options open because something better might come along, whether it is a job, a relationship, or a church. I mean, I've known people go from one church to another, a year here, a few months there, on a week-to-week basis, never committing to the life of one church. Part of being committed to a church is to use the spiritual gifts God has given you to edify the church. If you have the gift of helps or mercy or teaching, you use those gifts to build up the church. That's why we are given the gifts from the Lord, so that we build up a strong church. Being devoted to a church and devoted to the preaching of the word allows us to grow in our faith. Paul told the church in Corinth, do not be children in your thinking. Be mature. Be devoted to each other, to the study of the scriptures. Be devoted to reaching the lost for Christ. Why should we be devoted to the church? Because Jesus Christ loves the church, his church. In Ephesians 5, it says it plainly when Paul is talking about the marriage relationship and comparing it with Christ's love for the church. He says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Christ loves the church so much that he gave himself for the church. He cherishes the church. That is how the marriage relationship should look like in the church. We are members of his body, which is the church. Third, being committed to a church is a necessary step in our spiritual development. A pastor in California said it this way: you become a Christian by committing your life to Jesus. You join a church by committing yourself to a group of people, the assembly, the church. You know, the first churches were in Antioch and Jerusalem. Paul and Barnabas were the first missionaries sent out by any church, the church in Antioch. James was the pastor of the church in Jerusalem. They were the church that Paul was raising money for from all the other churches that he had planted. That church in Antioch had grown in maturity. They were ready to send out two men to share the gospel to the world. That shows that the Christians in the early church gave themselves to the Lord, meaning they were devoted to the Lord's work. In the new churches in Macedonia, they were very poor. Yet they gave a large donation for Paul to take back to the church in Jerusalem to help that church. That act shows that a group of people were devoted to their local church. Those churches in Macedonia, they were devoted to each other. They heard about a need and they gave sacrificially to that cause. Think about the churches in Poland and Romania during these last several months. They have given of the resources, whether it is food, money, petrol, housing, transportation, time, to help the Ukrainian people to get to safety. The largest contributor to this cause has been the local church. And this could not have happened if those churches did not have people committed to the church. What has happened there these last few months has shown me the spiritual maturity of the members of those churches. And it is encouraging to witness this, and it strengthens my faith in the church. The fourth reason is that being committed to a church provides spiritual protection. There is a pastor, elder, leader. Whenever you see those words in the New Testament, pastor, elder, shepherd, it all has the same idea, who is committed to lead the church. And I'm in that position here. In Acts 20:28, Paul told the church leaders in Ephesus, "Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." You know, I attend the Court Carey prayer meeting each month, the first Friday of each month, and they met 2 days ago. I was planning on going and having lunch with somebody, but I've been sick and I didn't go. We pray for every church, all 10 or 11 churches in the Court Carey. Every pastor has concerns for his church, and we pray about those needs. We pray for the congregations that they would grow in spiritual maturity. I pray for each of you. While we are away this summer, I prayed for everyone. When you're committed to a church, there is prayer support from each other and from the church leaders. Hebrews 13:17 says, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you." Now, I met with leaders of a church in West Cork a couple of weeks ago. They are without a pastor at the moment, and dealing with a serious issue that's divided the church. The core problem is that certain members of the church do not want to submit to the church leaders, and they want things done their way. There's been no joy for the church leaders, who have done an amazing job in shepherding the church during this time without a pastor. They're doing their best to guard the church and being responsible for them while dealing with this issue. Thankfully, they've had good meetings with the church, and though some difficult decisions were made, the church will grow in their spiritual maturity. There is a reason for church leadership and submitting to leadership. Without this, the church would be chaotic and be of no advantage to you. A fifth reason is that by committing to a church, you are accountable to other Christian leaders and other Christian brothers and sisters. When you are on your own, you answer to no one, and there is no support group. being in a church family, you have family. There's an old song that says, I am so glad that I'm a part of the family of God. There's a lot of truth to being family. We are brothers and sisters in Christ, and being committed to a local church together, we have each other to lean on, to pray for, to help out, to provide meals when someone is sick, or money when someone is in need. We have other Christians that we are committed to, and they are committed to us. We hold each other accountable for our commitment to the Lord, to our families, and to our church. Now, those are just a few reasons why we should be committed to a local church as an individual, why we would want to join a church. But what are we as a church committed to do? We're already together. Why do we gather together each Sunday? We'll hear a few more reasons as a body of believers why we are a church. As a church, as a church body, we worship together. That's what Acts 2:42 is all about, preaching, being together as a fellowship, sharing the Lord's table, and praying together. We praise God together by singing hymns, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. For me, this is the highlight of the week. I love being with my church family. I get energized by your prayers, your worship, our conversation, knowing that you are here because you chose to be here. I mean, some Sundays I look out and see how beautiful the day is, and I think how nice it would be to be on top of Torque or Brandon or walking the old Kimber Road. Yet the best day is being here with you, worshiping with my church family. And after a week of being in the world and facing whatever it is that each of us face, it is good to be in the house of the Lord. And as Acts 2:46 says, I hope you choose to be here with glad and sincere hearts. And second, as a church, we gather to receive God's word together, whether this is Sunday morning or Wednesday night Bible study. This is the main purpose of our gathering, to worship God centered around the teaching of his word. Paul encouraged Timothy to devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Paul told the church in Corinth, and I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Throughout the preaching of the word, through the preaching of the word, we learn together. We grow together. We are encouraged together. We are challenged together. Everyone is in a different stage of spiritual maturity. So the sermon or the Bible study will affect people differently. Everybody's going to get something different out of it. Someone may say, well, that was a boring sermon. I've heard that many times. I hope you don't say that, but I know that's a possibility. Yet someone hearing the same sermon might be moved to tears because God spoke to them in a way they'd never knew before. Our gathering as a church reflects our need to hear from God. And as a church, we gather to love and serve each other. Jesus said, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another, just as I loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. When we have a relationship with Jesus, then our view of other people must change. The Ten Commandments boil down to two commandments, love God and love people. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said to love one another. Why? Because just as I have loved you. See, there is no bargaining here. Christ loves us, so we are to love one another. There is a greater reason, and that is when we are loving one another, the world is watching us. The world is always watching us, looking for a reason to mock us and say, they're no better than we are. Why would I ever want to join that? We don't want to give the world a reason not to be a Christian. If they see church members loving each other, then they will know that we are disciples of Jesus. They will see a difference. That's the main reason why we are to love one another. In 1 John it says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. We can love and serve each other because God loves us. We only have this love because it is the love of God. As a church, we gather together to fight sin together. Hebrews 3, 12 and 13 says, "Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called day, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." The letter to the Hebrews was written to a congregation who was under pressure to leave Jesus and to return to their old ways. And that remains true today. Being a Christian is costly. Family and friends will turn their backs on you. The world turns their backs on you. They oppose God and they oppose you. Jesus told the disciples that following him would be costly. For the new churches, no matter where they were, in Antioch, Jerusalem, Corinth, Philippi, Ephesus, Rome, other locations, there was opposition. Planting a church today has opposition. Attending any church has opposition. We are all tempted to turn back to our former ways. As a church, we can encourage each other to continue to fight the good fight. Texting each other scriptures, praying for each other, calling each other, visiting each other. It is also encouraging when you feel that you when you feel that you are alone against the world, and then you get a text from someone that encourages us. We're not alone. Being devoted to a church means you have brothers and sisters in Christ who have your back. Be on guard for each other. Take care of each other. Exhort one another daily. This is so important, and it is a responsibility we have for each other. As a church, we gather together to encourage each other. Later in Hebrews 10, it says, the writer goes a little deeper by saying, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Stir up one another. If someone is feeling lonely, encourage them. If someone is missing, call them. One of the biggest problems with any church is people deciding not to show up because no one will notice I'm gone. If the church is truly a family, then we always notice when someone is gone. Don't neglect to meet together. Being together is so very important in the life of the church, and especially a small church. The smaller the church, when someone's gone, it's noticed. I mean, we don't really look at numbers, but when you're a smaller church, numbers are kind of important. So when somebody's gone, we notice. We encourage each other to meet together until the Lord comes. For a church to be a strong and active church, all members must be devoted to these things that we've talked about today and use their spiritual gifts. We'll discuss spiritual gifts in a few weeks. But a short description is that each follower of Christ receives God-given gifts to use to edify the church. That's the reason for the gifts, to edify the church, to build up the church. For a church to be the best it can be, everyone must be actively using their gifts and committed to the church. When one person is missing, then we notice. When someone is sick, we feel it. You know, we could look at church planting models in recent years. The church plant in Passage West is new and starting to thrive. The ongoing church plant in Carrigtwohill is showing growth. Amazing Grace Community Church in Skibbereen is an amazing example of God blessing a church where there were no churches. And I know that each of those churches have made mistakes. They have had problems and are dealing with issues. Why? Because the church is made up of humans who still sin. Men and women who are saved by the grace of God, yet we make mistakes. That's when the churches need to be strong, encouraging each other, praying for each other, seeking counsel from other churches like the Church of West Cork that has asked for help, continuing to use their spiritual gifts to edify and build up the church. Now there's one church in the New Testament that we see from the beginning in Acts 19 when believers were baptized in Ephesus to the end of that church when Jesus told the church in Revelation 2 that they had lost their first love. Meaning they were so caught up in going through the motions as a church that they forgot what it meant to be a committed church to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me close by reading the encouragement Paul had for Ephesus. He reminded them that they are to be a unified church, working together for the sake of the gospel, and that they could do this because they were equipped through the God-given gifts to do the work in the church. I'm going to read two sections of Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to read 1 through 7 and then 11 to 16. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you are called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father over all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gifts. Now it's verses 1 to 7. Now I'll read 11 to 16. And think of these as, I know Paul wrote this to the church in Ephesus, but think of it as if Paul wrote it to us today. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every kind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, all of us, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, which means the spiritual gifts given to each one of us, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. We are one body, Grace Baptist Church, and I pray that in the love of Christ we are devoted to this fellowship, eager to maintain unity, willing to use our spiritual gifts to edify the church, to build up the body of Christ, so that Jesus never has the opportunity to say to us that we have lost our first love. I pray that we are a revived church in the love of Christ. Let's pray.